Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos Pro Block Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales electos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
Well, hey there, everybody. Welcome in to Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleveland with you. Max Power here with us. He's got the Hawaiian tunes because it is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Trying to beat the weather out there. We haven't seen the sun in a while. Maybe these Hawaiian shirts will inspire it to come out from behind the clouds and warm things up a little bit as we get ready for Halloween, just a couple of days away. Glad to be here with you, everybody. Glad to turn the page into the next week of football. We'll do some of that today. KU, K-State, both right back at it in college football. The Chiefs turn the page to the biggest game, you know, on the calendar, at least on paper every year, because it never disappoints us in Chiefs Bills, but some key injuries and updates to talk about with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. World Series on to game four now as the Blue Jays get a win last night over the Dodgers. We'll talk about it all. It's all brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring a hot link sandwich, split seared, served in a split top bun with chips and a drink for only $9. Perfect for lunch. Hot link sandwich now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. TJ, how are you this morning?
Hello. I'm not gonna lie, Max might be pulling his hair up for this one, but it's pretty cold outside right now. Yeah. I think that we've officially passed ridiculous. The threshold.
It's ridiculous.
It'll get warm back up. We'll be back, but today it's past the TJ threshold.
Yeah, we've got our Hawaiian shirts on and we'll be ready. I blame you partly for this. This is what comes when you wish for the colder weather. This is a part of that wish. It is. That's and fine. We are about to, you know, we're about to move the clocks, what is it, fall back? Ugh, like, who wants a sunset at 5:30? Why do we have to do that? Why can't we just leave it the way that it is now? No one even wants the sun to set at 5:30, do they? Is anybody like that? Is anybody a fan of that? I don't think so. But, you know, it is what it is. We'll listen. You know, you're getting TJ, you bought a house, you like mowing the yard. You get, you, listen, you start complaining about the weather, and you kind of got a trifecta going there on becoming an old man. Maybe a little
longer. Yesterday, when I got home from Kansas City after the Chiefs game, there was leaves literally all over the driveway. And I have like gone to war with the leaves. There's a giant tree next to our house. I mean, it's a massive tree. And I mean, they flood this whole freaking place up with leaves. And every week it's like I leaf blow them into a pile and then bag them up with a lawnmower. And then 20 minutes later, they're back.
I hope you're happy. You wished this upon us. So enjoy it. I'll smile and feel a little warmer when I think about you out there raking the leaves 19 times. Cause that's what time of year it is. And we're here. I like the fall. I do like the fall. This isn't an anti-fall take. It's an anti-winter take. And the fall unfortunately means that the winter's coming. And it was, how cold did we get last night? 35, 36.
It had a 3 in front of it.
A little nip. My wife got out the heating blanket. Like I'm just not. I'm not ready.
Is the heat on in your house yet?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was last week. We had the check that, you know, we have our guy come out twice a year and do his checks, mm-hmm. and it wasn't working the first time it needed to. And we woke up and I was like, man, it's a little cold in the house right now. And we looked and sure enough, it was down to like 64. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. So he came back, flipped a switch. We're all good to go now. We're fine. We're doing okay. Everybody's doing okay. Blue Jays get the win last night. TJ, I don't know how much of that you jumped in on. We can touch on it real quick. 6-2 in the World Series. They tie things up in game 4, 2 games apiece. You wondered how anybody would react to an 18-inning marathon the night before. Well, the Blue Jays, they jump in and they get it done. A big offensive performance. Shohei gave up 4 runs on the mound. And now this series becomes a 3-game series, and I still think the Dodgers are going to be tough to take down in a 3-game series, but man, the Blue Jays are showing why they're there. They can hit the ball.
Yeah, it's comical, actually, that the fact that the Dodgers starting pitcher was on base 9 times the night before. But still, I mean, he actually pitched pretty decently until that last inning whenever he got the bases like loaded or something when they took him out, I saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a big win for the Blue Jays because what do they have? One more in LA and then they go back to Toronto?
That'd be the answer. And I believe they play it tonight. Let me double check that. But baseball doesn't mess around with the postseason. And I love that about baseball. They will play tonight. It will be Blake Snell again. Same pitching matchup as game 1. So they'll get that done. Then they'll take a day off and get back at it on Halloween in Toronto. It's going back to Toronto one way or another. It's been a really good series. You had that game that went to 18 innings. Other than that, it's been, you know, it the games themselves haven't been particularly close. Game 2 was a 5-1 win for the Dodgers. Game 1 was an 11-4 win for the Blue Jays. And so I don't know why, obviously the 18-inning game, I don't know why I felt like it was an entertaining series, but I have. I think honestly it's just because Shohei's in it and Vlad Jr.'s in it, and you've got two of these great sluggers that are both like performing at the highest level, so you're getting no disappointment there, and it's just kind of like which superstar can carry his team over the finish line.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing of what makes this one entertaining is the fact that, like, nobody knew if the Blue Jays were going to be able to hang with the Dodgers. And I think the fact that they are, and when the Blue Jays win these games, even if they are by 11-4, I mean, you know, obviously unless you're a Dodgers fan, but, you know, that's saved for a special group of people in Southern California and bandwagoners. It's cool to watch. Like, it's cool to watch a Blue Jays team go up against them and get wins against, you know, one of the highest payrolls in baseball.
And it's strange, too, that we wondered whether they would be able to be in it. Didn't they win more games than the Dodgers in the regular season? We do this in baseball. Like, there's ever that big of a favorite because there's not, right? It's baseball. That's what makes baseball fun and great. That's why we haven't seen a repeat champion, because it's just a sport that lends itself to a chip in a chair, right? Everybody's got a shot, and and this series is far from over, but we were far too dismissive of the Blue Jays season. The Blue Jays are really good, and they've got some depth in their starting rotation. They've got a fantastic lineup. They've spent a ton of money on their team, And they've been good for a long time. Like if we go back, let me pull it up and see where they rank in payroll this year. Of course, the Dodgers are going to be first. Yeah, they're seventh. You know, they're top 10. It's funny because the Dodgers are so far ahead of basically everybody else, right? But the Blue Jays spent $250 million on their roster. The Royals, by comparison, spent $132. So the Blue Jays have become and really have always been an aggressive team. That's not some small market team, David versus Goliath here, that the Dodgers are taking on. The Blue Jays have a loaded lineup. They've spent a ton of money on it, and they're right there. They're going blow for blow with the defending champs. And you know, it's been a really good series, and I'm thankful again tonight they'll kind of have the stage all to themselves, no football to interfere with. Of course, the NBA is back, but you know, more people can watch it, and the more people watching Shohei, the more eyeballs on Shohei. As far as baseball as a sport, the better for baseball.
Yeah, this is a very random thing. All our final minute here. Not to take us back to a gambling situation here, the Shohei stuff that's all went down and everything like that. I feel like it's weird that like the casual baseball fan that doesn't watch baseball like still has like a vendetta against Shohei about that. But baseball fans love Shohei because they like watching Shohei.
Shohei has become a little bit of a love him or hate him, which is good for the sport, by the way. I think that's a good thing. That has something to do. I think most people just for the same reason, like as a kid growing up, I wasn't a Michael Jordan fan because everybody likes him and he's so good. And you're like, nah, I'm going to go for somebody else. I think there's a little bit of that with Shohei. Man, he's awesome. But his team is not leading in this series. It is all tied up after game four. We'll come back. Let's get you caught up on the Chiefs news of the day from Tuesday on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland, Max Power producing for us. He's got your KFH hotline at 869-1240. We've got your comments available on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube X. Thanks for watching on 12 News Connected. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Shout out to the Crestview Country Club. Crestview is entering a busy time of season for family activities. We've got a big Halloween bash coming up there tomorrow night. I'll have a couple of my kids there. They've got their big Thanksgiving meals coming, which are, you know, they put on the big feast there at the club, and then they also provide take-home meals, both of which I have participated in. It is a very busy time of year for us, so we've needed to do that. But give them a call, ask them about all their different memberships. It's still plenty of time to golf, especially for the sickos out there. You'll be golfing till there's snow on the ground. But for the rest of us, more casual, there's still plenty of good weather coming on the golf front. Give Crestview a call. Tell them we sent you from Sports Daily. Appreciate their support. All right, TJ. Chiefs, Bills, we can sort of officially turn the page now. I don't think there's any need to spend more time on the Washington game. The Chiefs come out. They are favored. That is now moving toward the Chiefs, I'm seeing this morning. That's a little unnerving, I think, if you're a Chiefs fan, to see that move that direction like that, going to Buffalo, a team that's probably starting to get overlooked just a little bit. Buffalo has their issues, but there's not a team in football right now that doesn't, quote-unquote, have their issues. Buffalo's still Buffalo. I'm going to be surprised, and it looks like this line, if you want the Chiefs, you probably need to get on it now. It moves that direction as we've had no practice updates. It moves that direction as we learn Isaiah Pacheco is down, which, let's start there. Isaiah Pacheco with a sprained MCL, according to the NFL Network. The Chiefs will talk today ahead of the first practice, and we'll get probably official word on that. I assume that he'll probably have to miss at least a little bit of time with this one. Happened late in the game. It's not like earth shattering, but it is something to know that right now the plan would be to give the ball to Kareem Hunt 19 or 20 times. Remember, he's coming off of a foot injury. Yep. So really both of these guys are either hurt or at least banged up. The Chiefs running game has been a part of what they're doing. And I am a little concerned with that going into the Buffalo game.
Yeah, it's interesting, and the you know Pacheco is week to week, which you know week to week in the NFL at this point in the season makes you feel like, oh my gosh, how long is he going to be out for? Like day to day is usually like a 2 week injury. It feels like week to week, maybe a month, maybe a little bit more than a month or something like that. But obviously, I don't know. I can't believe that he has, like we talked about that yesterday morning about the fact of like. Yeah, he just popped right back up. It sounds like he was fine. He was walking around just fine. He did post-game interviews just fine. And then the next day, he as a sprained MCL. So it's like,
it
whatever
looked it is. Bad. I mean, it looked bad. And
oh,
and
yeah, the video slow-mo looked awful. Yeah, but then the fact that like he jumped off the table and everything, it's like, oh, it's okay, it's fine.
And he kind of had like the hand pound on the ground there for a second. And you're just like, whoa, 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 whoa. But yeah, then he was able to get up. But yeah, they're going to need to take it safe. I mean, the Chiefs, and people probably don't realize this, the Chiefs have a top 10 rushing attack in football this year. They're a top 10 running team. Like, they're so good in the passing game. And I get it. Some of that running, right, comes from Patrick Mahomes this year. I don't know what his average per game is, but it's got to be over 20, 25 yards. So I know that's a part of it. But we don't sit there when we're talking about the Ravens and their running attack and say, yeah, but part of it's from Lamar. No, like, it's one cohesive unit. And the Chiefs have run the ball effectively this year. Kareem Hunt has been very good and clutch at the things that he does, right? We know he's going to be great in pass pro. We know he's good in short yardage. He's picked up first downs. He's become this good goal line back. We know those things, but we know last year, giving the ball to him 17, 18 times, that's not really in his repertoire anymore. That's why it was nice to have he and Pacheco, because Pacheco can handle that early down work and just kind of keep defenses honest and everything. I don't know that defenses are keeping honest with Kareem Hunt, because last year, as he even as he was effective, if he broke one off, it was like a 6-yard run, right? He doesn't have that home run capability. So we'll see what they do. We'll see what they do with the roster. Rick brings up Elijah Mitchell. What is going on with Elijah Mitchell? Is he still around?
He's been I'm pretty sure he's been active every week. They just don't use him.
Well, that's an option. I don't think they're going to turn around and hand it to Breshard Smith a bunch of times. I think they continue to use him in the way that they have. But it does bring up the thing that has been brought up lots and lots of times. Are the Chiefs, should the Chiefs be in the market to trade for a running back?
I mean, I was definitely in the no camp, but now it's like, well, you might not have a healthy one on the roster except for Elijah Mitchell.
It is the injury does force your hand a little bit, but I'll be surprised if it's something big. There are other teams that are probably more desperate for a running back. Houston might be more desperate for a running back, unless they really maybe turn Woody Marks loose, right? I don't think you're going to get a bad team trading for a running back, so you got to kind of cross all of them off the list. So it does whittle it down a little bit to who might be out there in the market. And Breece Hall is the name that gets brought up because it's, you know, you salivate at the thought of Breece Hall in this offense. But what does that cost you, right? And what are the Chiefs really going to be in the market for? Right now, it's a position that doesn't cost them anything. Hasn't cost them any money, hasn't cost them any draft capital. It's such a win in that backfield because they haven't spent anything on it. I would assume they would have interest in getting Pacheco locked up long-term. Pacheco does have, in this injury, that's what sucks. This injury had nothing to do with his running style, right? This wasn't he likes to get in there and bang it a little bit. He got hit in the knee when he was out in the open field. That can, you know, that happens to everybody. So I don't know what to make of it yet. When is the NFL trade deadline? Let me look that up real quick.
I have no idea.
How much time do the Chiefs have to kind of stew on this a little bit? I mean, they're not going to make a trade like tomorrow. The trade deadline is this upcoming Tuesday. They have to make a decision pretty quick. I don't know if I'm good. What is the price you're willing to give up for a running back? Fourth?
I mean, I didn't think a fourth or worse. Yeah, 100%. It depends on who it is, I guess. I don't know. I mean, if we're talking about Breece Hall, I'd give up a pretty high pick to get Breece Hall to Kansas City.
You would?
I think that it would be something along the line. I was listening to Josh Briscoe's podcast, and they were talking about if you're going to do it, you want to be able to talk to Breece Hall's agent before you make the trade, I feel like, or somebody of Breece Hall's stature. Because, like, I'd give him a second round pick for Breece Hall if you have the opportunity to sign him long term.
You'd get him this year and next before free agency.
Yeah, if that's all that it's worth, then it's not worth a second round pick. I mean,
he was a second round pick.
Yeah.
Boy, I don't know. And I'm almost on the other side because I would love Breece Hall too. My concern is I don't think the Chiefs are going to pay a running back at any point. So is there enough left in Breece Hall's current contract to justify the pick? I just can't imagine that the Chiefs, the way they're currently constructed and the players they're going to have to pay and try to keep locked up and do everything, it's hard for me to imagine them investing a bunch of money at running back. And if you trade for a guy like Breece Hall, you're going to almost have to do that. Now, maybe it's a little less draft capital and you can swallow it. Maybe it's a third, right? He was drafted in the second, we'll give you a third. And then you're not maybe as concerned about, but you got to lock him up long term. I'd love to see Breece Hall play for the Chiefs for the rest of his life, but I don't know that the front office is going to commit that kind of dollars to that specific position. They're going to have to pay Rashee Rice soon, and he's going to command a bunch of money.
I know. That's an interesting conversation, how they're going to handle that.
I mean, it's coming quick. I think it's coming at the same time as Breece Hall. Let me double check that.
Breece would come before.
1 year before?
Yeah, because Breece
got a year before. But I will tell you this. Rice is a bigger like holdout candidate, too, at wide receiver. Yeah, you'd get one more year. So Rice is not a unrestricted until 2027. But you still got to pay him, right? He's still on the radar. Worthy would then be on the radar. Worthy a little later because he was a first-round pick, and you can push that a year. But he's going to get more expensive in that. So they've got some other things, and like you got to kind of think of it that way, right? Like everybody would love to have Breece Hall. He's awesome. But the Chiefs are going to potentially have to pay Trent McDuffie. They're going to potentially have to pay those two wide receivers. They will have to, if, you know, Josh Simmons at some point will command a mega contract. Now that's way down the road, right? They did get him in the first, but they'll have to get a right tackle. If it's Jalen Moore, he's good for a minute, and then he would need a bigger contract. Like, there's all these things that I could just very easily see the Chiefs prioritize salary-wise over running back. You'll also, by the time Breece Hall would need to be paid, potentially have Chris Jones off the books. Who knows how long he's going to play. Travis Kelce will probably be off the books. Juwan Taylor will be off the books. What kind of contract would Breece Hall even command? Running back contracts aren't massive, but if it's, you know, $10, $15 million a year, it eats into something. And is that something the Chiefs want to do? There's the other side of it too. Patrick Mahomes is getting older. The Chiefs should want to run the ball a little bit more. It's an interesting conversation. And you got to start with what would it take? And you got to start with the Chiefs' appetite to not roll with what they have too. They only have 5 days to think about it, 6 days to think about it and make a decision. I would tell you this though, TJ, Elijah Mitchell, and not enough for me.
I agree. As I keep saying, like, I did not think that the Chiefs needed a running back. The way the Chiefs operated, like, they needed very little out of their running back room to be successful. And right now, I don't know if they can get what they need out of that running back room, the little bit that they ask of it. You know, Kareem Hunt had a bone bruise last week.
It's not a little bit, injury. Though. See, that's the thing. They ran the ball more than 20 times the other day.
They run it a ton, but they're not asking you to get, like, they don't need 100-yard back.
No. Like, but they kind of do combined. They need to get close to it. They need to be running at a respectable per run rate, but they are running the ball. Now, I would have to go back, and I'm not going to do this right now. It'll take too much time. I wonder what that would look like, you know, when it wasn't the Raiders and the Commanders, when the carries are coming late in a game, right? In games that you have under control. I don't think the Chiefs have to run the ball. I think their passing game is basically as close to unstoppable as you can be. If the other team knew they were never going to run the ball, I'm not sure it would be easy to stop the Chiefs passing attack right now. But it is a nice weapon for them to have. It has helped in specific situations greatly in putting games away late, in, you know, playing off of the defense, playing really well first half against Washington. The offense just doesn't, like, that passing game was a tick off. Okay, let's turn around and let's run it a little bit. Let's settle in here. Let's let the defense do its thing, and then we'll get, like, there's that. There's short yardage. What have you felt better about? Their ability to just line up and get a yard by running the ball right up the middle or running a trick play, right? Like those things have been valuable to this team this year. Yeah.
It's true. Yeah. I don't know. I agree. They've done more of in the run game, but I agree. I mean, just back to this whole argument, I think that I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I'll say this, because if they got in a guy like Breece Hall, what would we expect from Breece Hall in the offense?
Well, right. He's not going to run the ball more than 15, 16, 17 times a game,
like,
most weeks. But he is a weapon in the pass game. Very
he
much
would.
So.
He'd catch
let me ask it to you this way. This is where I keep having to go to it. If we didn't have such an affinity for Breece Hall because he's a local kid and we love watching his success, would we even be talking about this?
I mean, we'd be talking about it because it's the legit thing. That, like,
would it change your opinion?
It probably would. I probably like Breece Hall more than the average person.
I think it would too. I mean, I think we want it so bad because we like Breece Hall so much.
Yeah. Who's but a comparable running back?
To Breece Hall?
David Montgomery.
I think Breece Hall is better than David Montgomery right now. David Montgomery would be a really good fit to just throw in names out there. The problem is like Alvin Kamara, like he's banged up. He's not an option. And he wouldn't necessarily fit what they need to be doing anyway. That's the thing. Like you've got to think of it in terms of fit. Breece Hall would. Breece Hall fits everywhere because he's a great runner and he's a great pass catcher. I think he's a pretty good blocker. But like Devon Achane's not getting traded from Miami as much as they probably love Ollie Gordon. I'm just looking at teams that might be interested in moving a running back that are on the market. There aren't many. Travis Etienne, that doesn't move the needle for me.
I mean, I feel like he's pretty comparable to Breece Hall.
Travis Etienne? Breece Hall's way better than Travis Etienne. No offense, Etienne. Breece Hall's way better. The Patriots aren't going to trade a running back. There really aren't going to be much out there, man. The Panthers, would they trade Rico Dowdle?
Maybe.
Is Chuba's back, or would they trade Chuba Hubbard? I mean, maybe that's an option. Maybe. I don't think there's going to be much out there that's even that people are even looking at. I mean, that's the thing about Breece. He's kind of it, right? He's kind of the only guy. And so, okay, like, what are you going to do? Probably nothing would be my gut. My gut says the Chiefs don't do anything. They roll with what they've got. They see what they've got in Elijah Mitchell. They hope these guys can carry him over the finish line. If they can't, they'll go find somebody off the street. That'd be my guess. That's what I get. I don't think the Chiefs are going to trade for a running back. I won't be disappointed at all if they do, but I just don't think they will.
Would you rather see them trade for somebody to help on defense or running back? Is the other argument to this.
Well, that's a good question.
If you asked me before 4 days ago, I would have said a defensive lineman.
They might bring back Mike Pinnell.
That's going to help.
In general, it's so hard because the Chiefs don't need the running back. Necessarily, right? They don't have to have it. Like, if you're asking which spot will hurt them more, a defensive player getting hurt or a running back missing significant time, I would say a defensive player. So that depth could be more important there. I mean, they do have options in the run game still that would probably be okay. You're in trouble if both Hunt and Pacheco get hurt. As long as you have one of those guys, you can accomplish what you need to accomplish. The problem is both of them are at minimum nicked up right now, and maybe even more than that. Hunt looked fine with his foot injury, so we probably shouldn't hold that against him. Just realize that it happened. And Pacheco, if it's a sprained MCL, as tough as nails as he is, like it's a sprained MCL, you're going to have to deal with that. That's not something you can just power through and put a knee brace on it as a running back and get after it. I don't think. We'll see. Boy, I don't think they're going to trade for one. I won't at all be disappointed if they do. I think they can be aggressive there, and it won't bother me as long as it's for somebody like Breece Hall, you know, a player of that stature. It would if you're going to give up any sort of relevant draft capital. But otherwise, I'll bet you they just kind of roll with it. All right. Let's talk about the Bills for a minute here, TJ. The Chiefs, the line is moving toward the Chiefs. Everybody's on the Chiefs, rightfully so, and how good they are. The Bills right now have some key defensive players nicked up in this game. Matt Milano, Ed Oliver, both on the injury report. I will tell you this. I think people are sleeping on the Bills. They had a couple of games where they were not, you know, playing up to their standard. One was a loss at home to New England. We now know New England is good. I wouldn't even say that's a bad loss. The other, they then followed that up and with a road loss at Atlanta by 10. Had their bye, came out and annihilated Carolina last week. In, you know, they had a close game with Baltimore in the opener. Then they beat the Jets by 20, the Dolphins by 10, the Saints by 12, had those two games, and here we are. I think we're sleeping. I still, like, if you're giving me at the moment two teams and I've got to bet the mortgage, these would be the two teams that I would still trust the most in the NFL would be the Chiefs and the Bills. The Bills right now, their rushing attack is the best in football. They, of course, can throw the ball. He doesn't have a lot of weapons in the pass game, and that's been a problem a little bit. But they got a couple of good tight ends, and they've got – it's not the worst set of pass catchers in football by any means. But they run the ball better than anybody. And they defend the pass really well. This is an interesting matchup right now for the Chiefs. The Bills are, they're bottom three, I believe, in run defense right now. For everything we just spent 20 minutes talking about with the Chiefs running attack, this is the worst run defense in football. It is not strength on strength. When the Chiefs played some of their other big games, the Lions, for instance, or the Jags, it was very much like strength on strength. This one's not going to be strength on strength. The Bills have a terrible run defense and a good pass defense. And so now it's like, okay, we're going to kind of get one of those good on good here.
Yeah, it brings up the question even more that it's surprising that the line is moving towards the Chiefs, considering all the things we just talked about with the Chiefs running back room. Like you just said, you know, if they've got a good run defense or a good pass defense, and want the Chiefs to run, who's going to run it? Is it going to be hurt Kareem Hunt? Is he going to have a big game? Which we saw him do last year, but as you said, he's coming off of like two injuries in a row here, so. I don't know. I want to see it just be an absolute shootout, but I don't think that these defenses are that bad. I think that it will be – something's got to give. I don't know. I'm surprised it's going the Chiefs' way.
Well, I'm not surprised. I don't think that it's going the Chiefs' way. I think that there is recency in that for sure. The Chiefs just – they look really good right now. And so that – and the Bills, right, they had the two losses in the Biden. They did smash Carolina. But I'm not surprised because I think the Chiefs are better than the Bills. But it is in Buffalo. I'm a little surprised to see it moving more toward the Chiefs, right? We saw it open – what did we say last week? What did you say? 1 on the look ahead? And then it went to 1.5 yesterday. Now it's up to 2 today. Or was it 2.5? It's up to it. Let me double check that. It's up to 2, I believe. Yeah, it's up to 2 today. So it's moving toward the Chiefs. That is the part that surprises me a little bit, fresh off of the line moving away from the Chiefs against Washington, you know, last week. So, and we haven't even seen a Chiefs injury report yet. We assume Isaiah Pacheco will miss time. We don't know if Simmons will be back. We don't know what Trey Smith's status is. I think Smith will play. Simmons, obviously we don't know a thing. It would be nice if this was the week he was able to make it back. But are you picking that? Are you laying the 2 points right now?
I mean, I probably would. I don't know why it's going the Chiefs' way is the bigger conversation to have here, but I think I'd still be comfortable with laying 2 with the Chiefs. If it gets over a field goal, I'm not doing that. I think it's going to be within 3.
What is people's problem with the Bills, do you think, right now?
I think it's just the, you know, ugly taste in their mouths from those two losses that they had to show that they've got flaws and they are beatable. And as I said yesterday, you know, you have to turn the Bills over to beat them. That's what both of those teams did. And so I don't know. I don't know. I'd say that that's it. I mean, I think if they only lose one of those games, the Bills would probably be favored by, you know, 2.5 or 3 in this game. It'd be a Bills favored game.
So the Carolina team that they just absolutely smashed didn't have Bryce Young, but it's a team that was able to beat Atlanta 30-0 this year. It's a team that was able to beat Dallas this year. They're 4-4. They were 4-3 coming in without their quarterback. So that was an impressive performance by the Bills, who just imposed their will on them. I would probably still lean Chiefs. I just think in general terms that the Bills are being slept on here. They're not getting, like, they're not in any conversation where people are talking about, to me, at least that I'm hearing, they're like, who's the best team in football? Who's going to be? And this game is massive for the Chiefs, right? The Chiefs right now, you have this game. Buffalo's 5-2, Kansas City's 5-3. You play them head to head. If you win this game, you, in a lot of ways, control your destiny because you still get to play Denver twice. And we're talking about for the one seed, and they do play Indianapolis. Their next three games are Buffalo, Denver, and Indianapolis. So, you know, they have a lot of control on this thing if they can get these wins. But you've got two of them are on the road. Three of their next four are on the road. And those three places they've got to travel to are Buffalo, Denver, and Dallas. Like, this is that part of the schedule we've been worried about. The good news is the Chiefs look good, right? They look good going into this part of the schedule. But man, like, this is we got something on our hands here. Like, this is,
I agree.
How many of these games, like, if the Chiefs go 2-2 over those next four, is it disappointing?
I don't know. I think it is by the standards that Chiefs fans expect this team to be playing at right now, and they've been playing great. And so, I mean, I would say they'd be favored in all four of them.
They'll be favored in all four. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess, I mean, 2-2 probably is a disappointment then by those standards.
They'll be favored at Denver. They'll be favored on the road. If they're favored at, well, that's at home against Indianapolis. And then on the road at Dallas, yeah, they'll be favored. So they'll be favored in all of them. And then, by the way, they follow that up with Houston and the Chargers. At least those are both at home. And then they get that one game against Tennessee squeezed in there. It's another in Denver, and then it's Vegas. Like, this is... This brings up another good topic, I think. Should we be having the conversations about home field with the Chiefs? Like, is that the appropriate conversation to have right now at 5-3 with this schedule coming up?
Home field in the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, if we think that they're the best team in football and they've shown that they can play against anybody and beat anybody, I mean, there's no reason to not have it. I don't know if the one seed is the conversation to have potentially. Because you need more help, and the Colts look like they're not going to lose anytime soon. So, I don't know. I think that it's fair to say a home game in the divisional round is up for grabs.
Yeah, I don't know that. I guess maybe, like, should the expectation, because the Chiefs are playing well right now, like, we're all back, you know, everyone's back in on the Chiefs. But should the expectation be home field with that schedule coming up? The challenge with it is they control so much of what's going to happen. They play Buffalo. They play Denver twice. They'll take care of that in those games. Indianapolis, they would need to lose one other, but they would obviously own the tiebreaker. And then you got to kind of count on, like, how many more losses do you think the Chiefs can have if they were going to have home field?
I mean, they can't have, what are they at now? Three losses?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they could lose and get it.
The Jacksonville game looms large. It really depends on what you think about Indianapolis. If you think
maybe one, I'll say that.
One to get to four. So Indianapolis,
I don't think that four can get it. I mean, they're going to have to, Indianapolis is going to have to go on a cold snap.
They would have to lose three. They'd have to beat Indianapolis head to head and make sure they don't lose that tiebreaker, obviously. Indianapolis has Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Kansas City, Houston, Jacksonville on the road, Seattle on the road, San Francisco, Jacksonville at home, and Houston on the road. They're not going to run the table.
Will they lose
two of those games, one of them being the Chiefs? I think the chances of that are pretty decent, but would they lose three of those?
Yeah.
One would be
Chiefs. That's the bigger question. That's the bigger question to ask, is not the fact of how many do the Chiefs need to avoid losing, it's how many do the Colts need to lose for it to happen.
Yeah. Here's the Colts go into the Pittsburgh game. They're 3-point favorites on the road. I mean, that's the thing. Like, nobody's still buying into him. I don't know that I am. I don't know that I'm buying still right now, which is stupid. But the win against the Chargers on the road kind of opened my eyes up a little bit. They should have lost the game to Denver. Remember, that was the weird early game in the season where they made them kick the field goal twice or whatever, and they didn't make it the second time. I think that's what it was. So that should be, but it wasn't. But they don't. They're not like littered with overwhelmingly impressive wins, except for that win last week or 2 weeks ago. Sorry, on the road at the Chargers, but that wasn't a full strength Charger team. And I'm not trying to make excuses against the Colts. I'm just trying to get a real good feel for how this thing might play out. And if you're the Chiefs right now, and you look at the schedule you've got to play, and you look at the fact that Denver has found a way to win a lot of these games, and that the Chargers are kind of coming back healthy a little bit, the Chiefs have got to be real careful here. Like, that's what, to my question, should we be thinking about home field? I'm not sure we should be thinking about home field. I think we should just be thinking about the Chiefs need to make sure they win enough of these games to still get into the playoffs. As good as they look, the schedule that they have is a nightmare. It's a nightmare schedule.
I mean, it's right now it's kind of a gridlock too in the AFC. Is the other part of this as well is that, you know, there's between them and the Colts, there's still five teams right there. And so I think that it'll level itself out eventually, and it'll stop being so, you know, floated towards the top. And I think that the Chiefs will eventually keep rising if they keep winning the games. But I agree. I think that, you know, everybody knew even before all the stuff that the Chiefs were going to deal with in the early season, looking at this schedule was going to be nuts. And I think that, like, as we said, getting out of there and being 5-3 at this point is probably something that people would have taken given, you know, the Worthy injury and the Rice suspension and all of that stuff. And so I don't know.
Sure would be.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that you just need to keep getting through the schedule. I think that, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if the Chiefs lost two more games.
Oh, I won't either. What's so funny about all of it is we looked at that opening portion of the schedule and we're like, man, this doesn't get any tougher. And then Lamar Jackson misses a half, and, you know, they do get the win over Detroit, but Vegas doesn't end up being any good. Washington's not any good at the moment. Now they're actually to the part of the schedule that's the hardest, and we didn't see that coming at all. I think it was like, oh man, Denver's actually really good, and so is Indianapolis. All right, well, there really isn't any schedule relief on here except the game they get to play against Tennessee. Maybe the next one, too, against the Raiders. It's fun. God, can't wait for Chiefs-Bills. We'll continue to, like, dig into the intricate matchups after we get a practice report today. That's going to be a pretty critical practice report. We'll keep an eye on it. We got another hour of Sports Daily. Don't go away, sports fans.
Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
All right, welcome in, everybody, to another hour of Sports Daily here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. That is the tunage you're hearing from Max Power. We're starting a revolution, even if it's just Max and I. It's Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday here. It's a perfect day for it, as we're trying to inspire the sun to come see us again after however many days we've spent in the clouds and drizzle and all of these things.
At this point, it's so cold in my house, I don't even think I can wear a short sleeve shirt early in the morning.
TJ, do you know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella?
For drizzle.
For drizzle. That's right. That's correct. It is chilly out there. Wear a coat if you're just waking up and listening to us and ready to head out the door. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on Facebook, YouTube, X, and 12 News Connected. You can get in touch with us in any of those varieties. We'll have Shreya Slada in our KU Insider a little bit later in the show. Talk some KU football, some of the things happening there, some of the conversations happening among fans and, you know, players leaving and those things. And, of course, we'll talk some KU hoops, which I know people are beginning to become excited about. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer that's made with actual pumpkin. Served with a spiced rim, Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. I've got a little note here that one goes away on November 1st. I don't know if that reed goes away or if that beer goes away, but get that one while it lasts. Because once we turn the page from Halloween, you can kind of begin the countdown. And I know people don't like to, but the countdown to Christmas is on at that point. You get through Halloween.
When are you putting your decorations up? We'll dive into this hot topic.
Okay. So I don't have a problem at any point if people want to put them up at this stage in life, because I now have a real good understanding of how difficult it is to chisel out the time to do it. I have actually been in charge of a lot of that the last few years. So we'll take you through HTO, our family business away from this. And we give away some HTO, probably here in this hour at some point. The busiest time of the year is Thanksgiving. And we always do a gallon promo. People go, you know, that everybody comes and they get their gallons, and we appreciate that. But it is absolutely insane. So that takes up a lot of attention around there. Christmas is also busy at the stores, not quite as busy, but for the same reason. But that time around Thanksgiving, I think when a lot of people do that kind of stuff, is just insane. I also try to pick up all the shifts at KWCH because we're here, right? We're not traveling. We're not doing anything for Thanksgiving. Like right up until the day, like we're super busy at the stores, and then I can pick up. So like that stretch of that, you know, probably 10 days leading up to Thanksgiving and then right after, I'm always working. So if I was to say I'm going to put those up like this weekend, that's why. Now I'm not going to do that, but so I don't have a problem with it. Like I get it. It's a busy time of the year. Maybe people are traveling, maybe they're doing whatever. And I've been put in charge of a lot of this because my wife gets so busy at the stores. I usually put it up on Thanksgiving or sometime in the day or two following Thanksgiving. That is typically when my decorations go up. They may have to go up sooner this year.
So we've always, even before the house and the apartment living and everything like that, we've done it. We're the people that it's going up November 1st, the day after Halloween, Christmas. And I'm not saying it's convenience sake. I'm saying that it's Christmas time.
Look, it is a lot. It's an effort. It's a lot of work.
I think, okay. Let me change the question here. I think the bigger hot button issue is when is the Christmas music start getting played?
Yeah, I probably wouldn't do that until after Thanksgiving. And that's growing up in a house where Kenny G's Christmas was going up, maybe even starting like mid-October. Every day we're walking around the house and mom's blaring Kenny G's Christmas. So it's really all about what the kids want to do at this point. And of course they're fired up about Christmas. And for us, unfortunately, like we don't get to make Thanksgiving a big deal. Like it's not, because Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving, love it. But we don't have like the resources and energy now to properly make the big deal of it. Why I always say this time of year when we're talking about Crestview Country Club sponsorship, like I genuinely mean that. Most of the time we do something like that, like we'll bring it home and we'll have it, or we'll go up there, because we don't like I'm telling you, like up until the Wednesday night at like 9 p.m., it is balls to the wall craziness at the stores we run, at the businesses we run. So we kind of wake up exhausted and like, oh, it's Thanksgiving. And then I go to work for the TV set. Like that is Thanksgiving for us now. So like otherwise, we'd make Thanksgiving a huge deal.
My biggest thing is that Thanksgiving is probably my favorite holiday, but it just happens to fall during Christmas season. So
that's
like,
fine. Yeah,
no, I've always been the big proponent of like, you listen to the Christmas music on Thanksgiving. The Christmas tree is up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
Probably better than Christmas, in my opinion.
Here's the other reason that they're both great, because they're both great family holidays. That's why we love them, you know, especially the older you get. The other part about why it's acceptable to do all this is because it takes a lot of time to do it. And if you truly waited until after Thanksgiving to put up your Christmas stuff, you don't get it for very long. Because exactly. Then the next question becomes, when do you have to take it down? See, for me, that's the bigger, because by the new year, I kind of want it down, right? Like it's time, we're starting fresh. So like you only get to have it like for maybe another week, feels in the acceptable range before you got to bring it down. Like, you know, the fun and all of it has passed. The reason we celebrate that day and stuff, that's all passed. And like, Now it's just kind of a tree in the middle of your living room taking up space. There's no more presence under it. There's none of that. So yeah, then it's got to come down. So if you wait until, if you truly wait till after Thanksgiving, what are you going to do? You get it for 4 weeks, all that time and effort and energy for 4 weeks. No, nope. I'm fine. Put it up right now. I don't care.
It's going up. It's almost starting Monday morning.
Like, I would say after Halloween. Yeah, you probably don't want to. You probably need to wait till after Halloween. But yeah, November 1, that's a good starting point. And I think ours is going to go up. It's going to have to this year sometime in early November. Like, there's going to be a day, and maybe it's a, I don't know, even know what day of the week it would be now, because we were entering the kids' basketball season and everything, where it's like, oh, well, we have a minute here. All right, we're getting the tree. The other thing that I've started to do the last 2 years, I let the kids decorate the tree. Mm-hmm. And that's part, like, because it's fun and exciting and cute for them. And it's part because that means I don't have to do it. Like, I get it down and get the tree out, because we got the big, tall one. So I got to get it out and get it down and get it fluffed up and get it there. And then it's like, all right, kids, have at it. But get after it. And then my wife usually swings in with the knick-knacky stuff. It kind of just, as we get a few minutes, slowly gets put out. Do you guys, now that you have a house, you going to go Griswold on it? You're young. You're a little more unencumbered.
We already bought the Christmas lights. Okay. And we've decided that we're like, are we just going to do like the front of the house? I'm like, every nook and cranny is getting lit on this thing.
My college roommate and I, probably after too many Keystone lights one time, went to Walmart and bought just a ton of inflatables. We didn't have any money. We just like emptied the bank accounts and bought inflatable Christmas stuff and just would litter our yard with the inflatable Christmas stuff every year. But now, like, I changed the garage lights to red and green bulbs. Like, that's the outside deck. It's not lame. I love that stuff. I just like, what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to do? The other thing is, who's going to hang them? Because our roof is way too steep and I'm way too old and I don't feel like emptying the life savings out because I fell off the roof. So then I'd have to pay to get it done. And I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, we've invested in some ladders at the house.
I haven't seen your home. I've got one and you've seen them around here. There's a lot of houses here with like
super tall.
Super tall and super steep. Like, the roofs are, and I don't know why that is, because we're on one level. We don't have like a second story or anything, but man, those roofs are just insane. We had solar panels put on our house and those guys were like, I'm like, hey guys, your job, not mine. Get after it. Yeah. I do love Christmas time and I'm good with it. Max, you can play Christmas music anytime you want. Let's call it after Friday. Max, because Max, I could see Max being a Scrooge too. I could see, I'm about 50-50 on whether Max is big on Christmas spirit or Mr. Scrooge. Max, do you start thinking about Christmas?
After Thanksgiving. They're already doing Christmas ads, and we haven't even had Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So we probably won't be getting Christmas.
Max is probably a big Halloween guy is the issue here.
Yeah, nice mask.
Are you dressing up this year, Max?
No. I'm old. It's you know, if you're still dressing up when you're old like me, there's something wrong.
Yeah, I tend to fall into that camp, too.
It's not even Halloween, and they're already having Christmas. Come on.
Well, I mean, listen, we're capitalist. We know why that is. Like, that shouldn't surprise anybody. That's not because of the seasonal spirit. That's because they're trying to get you to buy stuff. Anywho, put your Christmas tree up whenever the hell you want. Yeah, we'll come back. Let's look ahead. We've got KU talk coming with Shreya Slaughter. Let's look ahead a little bit to that K-State Texas Tech game when we return here on Sports Day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. We mentioned giving away some HTO. Let's do it. You can win a free cup of iced tea on us here at Sports Daily by texting the keyword tea to the short code 20357. More than 25 flavors to choose from. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Again, that is the keyword T to the short code 20357. Good in East or West Wichita or in Derby. Good luck, everybody. Welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here. We'll cover K-State just a little bit here and maybe some of the other storylines around the sports world right now. There is a story out now. Terry Rozier, of course, involved in the big betting scandal. They had the IRS had a tax lien of more than $8 million on Rozier. So whatever that's for, like if you're going to do this kind of stuff, you probably need to pay your taxes to keep the IRS for sniffing around a little bit on you. Just continues to be a wild, wild story, TJ, as this poker and betting and I honestly still don't even know what to make of it.
Yeah, it's nuts. And the biggest thing that's coming out about this now is the fact that now the NBA is kind of getting scrutinized about, like, this was an investigation back in 2023, and they kind of just swept it under the rug a little bit, is what everybody's kind of reporting and saying. And so if that's the case, you know, it really brings into question about the integrity of the NBA and betting on the NBA. And it's going to open a can of worms if they don't get a handle on it.
It is. It is. And it's not, you know, it's not going to be, it's not going to be good for them. I think they'll be fine. But they just, like, this can't, because we've had this, you know, you had the Porter, you've had a couple of situations, but guys are getting caught, right? And it's the Rozier thing goes way back, and it's almost like a continuation of that. So, and then the Billups thing was more about a poker game.
No.
So I don't know how much trouble there is. You don't ever want the attention, but none of this has me, I guess, feeling any differently. I think guys are going to try to abuse the system. I think there are a million reasons why that's going to happen. Where I keep falling in is, does it happen more often because you and I can bet a basketball game now without going to Vegas or finding an illegal bookie? And I genuinely, like, I don't know if I know, I have a strong take on that.
I think so. I mean, I think it's the argument that we had last week whenever we talked about this stuff, is that, you know, I don't think it's the fact that it's more easily accessible for the players to do, because I think it's more easily accessible for their cousin Mo to do, you know? And I think that that's like,
they'll try and funnel it through, but they could have done that already, right?
They could have done, but that. It's easier for, like, your random acquaintance that isn't, you know, a criminal going and finding bookies, you know what I mean? Like, everybody can find bookies and stuff like that whenever it was illegal, but it was like the taboo thing. Now it's like, hey, I just made this DraftKings account and I'm betting on basketball games 20 minutes later. And I think that just so many people, I mean, I would bet that over 50% of the country has some sort of sports gambling account on one of the mobile websites.
I think 50% is probably a little too high. But I get what you're saying. But again, does that access make it more likely for point shaving?
Yeah, I mean, I think so.
Yeah, we'll find out. They obviously, it certainly makes it more likely that guys will get caught.
I think it's more like, I think at the bottom line, call it what it is, if you want to call it point shaving and everything of that nature, I think it's easier for players to know the lines. And they can do what they will with that information, but I bet that if you took a poll in 2025 compared to 2015, I bet that it's an exponential growth of players who know what the spread is every night.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm not trying to be naive, because I think I agree with you. I just, again, like, I don't know. I don't think there's any going back. So that's first and foremost. Like, I don't. We're not coming back.
They'll have to change something if they don't get a handle on it. But I don't think there's going back. Like, they're not going to take it
yet.
Away.
I mean, not yet. We got to see, you know, most of the time what we've seen, like Jameson Williams, wasn't he betting on another sport, which was allowed, but he was doing it at a team facility, which is not allowed. Yeah. Like little things like that. Just like, you can't obviously ever have the integrity questioned in this thing. And I don't know that I am yet. It's these player props in basketball, because it's just so commonplace right now for basketball players just take a night off or to leave a game with injury. You and I are in a fantasy basketball league, and I just laugh every day when I try to look at my lineup and nine guys are listed as out. I'm like, how are you even supposed to, like, how is anybody split? Like, this is why I don't bet basketball, NBA. I don't know who's going to play every night. So unless I'm going to make a bet 3 minutes before tip off, like, I'm already not betting the NBA for that reason. I mean, I never bet NBA, ever. I don't know who's going to play in the games. I think that's a bigger problem for the league, is load management or whatever it's being called. Like, that's the challenge for basketball to me, because you don't know who's going to play every night. Like, I have no idea when I turn on a game if my favorite player's playing.
Nope. I agree. I mean, I don't know where that's a whole different can of worms, I feel like. And, but it does have a tie into to the sports betting side of it, and it raises a lot of questions. So it's been a wild story, and it's making its rounds, and it's going to,
the problem is we're having to talk about it. I mean, that's
it's going to keep getting more complex until something like, I mean, something's happened, but until more information comes out, basically.
Yeah, this will be, it'll be hard to be bigger than this. All right, let's talk college football. We've got K-State hosting Texas Tech this weekend. It is the game I think everybody has their eye on in the Big 12 the most. And there are great matchups all around. Cincinnati, Utah is this weekend at Utah. Utah is a 9.5-point favorite over Cincinnati, TJ. As it, like, in, and that's not a, that's not being cute with the betting conversation we just had. That just like that, that those give us an indication. Like when we talk about K-State and their chances to do something here, that is there, right? If Utah is able to beat Cincinnati, that opens the door a little bit. Now, they'll need more help than that, right? They'll need a little bit more help than that. But K-State plays Utah, so you don't mind a Utah win there. This is an interesting time. K-State only has two losses in the Big 12. Yep. They can win a tiebreaker against Utah head-to-head. They can win a tiebreaker against Texas Tech head-to-head. They need Cincinnati to lose, and they would then – need Cincinnati to lose again to BYU. And then I don't know what the tiebreaker is between K-State and Cincinnati. I have no idea.
I have no idea either, actually.
But the door is open, right? Like it's cracked open.
Yeah.
And they got to win all their games and all of these things. But it is funny for all of this that there is some degree of control here for K-State.
Yeah, the fact of the matter is, though, is that, you know, this could be a story for 3 days, and then if you lose to Texas Tech, and then it's like, oh, it's over. Like it's not over, but it's over. Like, you're, the scenarios that you would need at that point are, you know, meteors hitting the earth type situations of teams losing and everything that's happening. So you have to beat Texas Tech, and I think that that's the only conversation to really have right now is, obviously, it's there, and I think that that's the conversation that we've had, is that it's possible and it's feasible to do. It's not in their control, though. They control what they can control, but they can't control their own destiny if they want to get to Arlington. The only thing they can control is trying to beat Texas Tech, and that's coach speak. But at the end of the day, if you don't beat Texas Tech, it's over.
Could you imagine if K-State wins the rest of their games and then they don't get in? So, which is also possible. I'm with you. The chances of it are just wildly, wildly unlikely. But they still exist, and I only keep bringing that up because, like, we're looking for ways in college football to stay motivated through. It's always been my problem with college football. It's better now with a 12-team playoff, but it's always been my problem is too often too many teams are eliminated, and that sucks, man. It's why it's honestly, as I've grown older, why I've gravitated further. Cause when I was a kid, man, like it was all college. I could not get enough college football. But then as you get older and you start covering these teams, you're like, man, their season's over. We're not even to Halloween yet. And like the season's over in terms of having the opportunity to do something in the postseason.
Yep.
Like bowl games are, that's fine. Like they've never done it for me, but expanding this playoff is helping. And if it's 16, it'll help even more in that regard. But that's so when we get this small opportunity, which we have now to say, you know, the door's still open for K-State. I'm going to slam through that door and say, hey, everybody, look, K-State still has it, because it makes it more fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing the same thing, too. Look, I don't think this is us just trying to play cheerleader for K-State. Like, the season was over, and now it's not over. Like, there's something there. Like, it's a story. Like, and K-State knows it too, and they understand. Like, if they beat Texas Tech, like, there'll be legit buzz across the Big 12, you know, nationwide attention about, like, hey, like, whoa, especially if Utah beats Cincinnati. If Utah beats Cincinnati this weekend and K-State beats Texas Tech,
here we go.
That is, like, I would sprinkle money on K-State getting to the Big 12 championship. Like, that is two major events happening.
Well, listen, if you're going to sprinkle money on K-State getting to the Big 12 championship, you do it right now.
Yeah,
you don't do it after the fact, because I don't even know what those odds are. But like, that's where you do that. But again, like the problem with these are two different conversations. We're having them because they're relevant. The chances of it happening are so low, not because you need so many things to happen, TJ, as much as you need K-State to play that brand of football every game the rest of the way. And that's where the real challenge comes. This isn't a team we've seen do that this year. They have not consistently enough played that brand of football. I'll tell you this, though. What if that Baylor outcome is the other way, right? What if you don't have the bad interception late and all of those things, and they're now riding a four-game winning streak going into this? Then we are having that conversation more legitimately, because they just beat Kansas big time. They beat TCU big time. They would have had wins, you know, two of them on the road where we're coming into this. And that is the conversation Texas Tech is having. Yep. Texas Tech's having that conversation. Like, hey guys, do not be fooled by this team having three losses. A, they should only have two. And B, they're finally playing the kind of football we thought they'd be playing when this season started. That's a conversation in Lubbock right now. Mm-hmm. I know it is, because I talk to people down there. They've been worried about this game for a while. Now they're really worried about it because K-State appears to be kind of back a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that's Texas Tech is kind of in, you know, the opposite boat, but the same as K-State, is that if they lose this game, like, their chances are like they just lost Arizona State a couple weeks ago. Like, if they lose this game, it's like, whoa, shoot.
And
like,
that's not good. That's not a good thing for K-State either, and their chances, because Texas Tech knows they don't have wiggle room. They get their starting quarterback back. That's the thing about Tech. Like, Tech is – you got to remember what Tech was before that loss, because they didn't have their quarterback, and Hammond has had to play significant snaps. But
so who's playing? Who's going to play on Saturday?
Morton, the original starter, is back. He is back. Yes, and he is significantly better. And then you start to think about, okay, this was a top 10 offense. This was a top 10 defense. We saw against Kansas, when they need to, they can run the ball a little bit. But the difference between Morton and Hammond, who I believe was a true freshman, like, is significant, like night and day different. So that's where you look at it, and that's where it becomes a real trouble spot, is now you're getting the best of Tech, right? You're getting this all-world defense with their starting quarterback, who gives them a much better passing attack, and now you got to get after it. K-State, so we're going to say the same thing. They've got to run the ball, and they're not going to have, you know, Dylan Edwards. So Joe Jackson's been good, though. It's unfair to Joe Jackson that all the attention continues to stay with Dylan Edwards, because Dylan Edwards is such a playmaker, and we know that. Joe Jackson's, he's kind of on a little mini heater. Like, he has really developed into a pretty good runner the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, you know, he was young, and I think that that's something as well, is that he hadn't really had game experience except for, you know, taking a few snaps a game and taking a couple handoffs. But he's gotten a big workload, and he's played well since we've seen Dylan, you know, basically not be available to play. And so it's going to take a lot to get it done against Texas Tech. I think that it's going to have to be a huge Avery game if they want to have something done. They're going to have to throw the crap out of it, I'd imagine. And I imagine they're – I mean –
yeah.
This game screams like it's going over.
Tech is a wagon defensively, and running on them. Right, defensively though, they're the best run defense in football. TJ, they're not just a good run defense; they have the best run defense in college football. Yep. Jacob Rodriguez, in my opinion, is the best defensive player in the country, and he was close last year, and now they brought in some beef on the line through all that NIL money that they've been spending. So I agree with you. It's got to be Avery. Now, what I don't totally like, I don't know that it's Avery throwing the crap out of the ball, but it's Avery making a crap load of plays.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to hand the ball off.
Right. If they're going to run it, he's going to have to be a part of it, and it's going to be difficult. The reason I think this is such a challenge for K-State is Texas Tech probably, I would make Avery throw the ball. Yeah. And then you're just trying to make plays against him. You're trying to make him one dimensional. And then I think you become this opportunistic defense. Just at its base, they stop the run so well. That's the challenge against them. And they have a good pass defense too, by the way. They're like, they're top 40, I think, against the pass. But you got to do that. And then if you're K-State on the other side, now that you know that quarterback is back in there, you better be ready to stop the pass. Yep. Because this is a high level, you know, Texas Tech passing attack too.
Yeah,
I agree. A great job against Kansas. I mean, that gives you hope. Look at seeing that pass defense play that well. That gives you the hope, I think, as much as anything else.
Yeah, I think that it comes. I think back to the KU game. Like, obviously, I've watched sparingly Texas Tech because they're a Big 12 team, and I like to watch the Big 12. But the most I've watched them was against KU, and I mean, obviously, KU, you know, got obliterated in that game. But for the 15 minutes, they looked good. They threw it on them. Like, they didn't get those points by running around. Like, it's possible to do. Like, I'll have to watch the Arizona State game and see how they handled it and everything like that. But like. That to my mind, it has to be a big passing game for Avery. The defense, like, you're not going to really slow down. Like, I think you slow down Texas Tech less on offense than you worry about them slowing you down on offense. Like, their defense is great, but, like, their offense could come in and score 35 like it's nothing.
I'm the opposite. I think K-State's biggest concern has to be offensively trying to score on their defense. How many games early in the season when K-State was not playing well, it's because it felt like they couldn't score, right? It's because the offense sputtered out. They lost that game inexplicably to a Service Academy team because their offense was never on the field. They couldn't get anything going on offense. That's what I worry about, is that they're just going to get smothered and not be able to move the ball. And then all of a sudden we'll look up and it's like 17-0 and it will feel like they just can't do anything. That's what I'm worried about. I'm not as worried about the Texas Tech offense as I'm worried about the Texas Tech defense. So I think I'm on the opposite side of that as you are.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I go back and forth. Like, I don't know if I want to, like, phrase it that I'm not, like I am worried about the defense. But I think that, like, the best way to describe this is I feel like I'm just chalking up the Texas Tech is going to score 30 plus on Saturday.
Yeah, I need to know K-State's going to get to 20.
That's what I think we're in the same boat on this. But it's because of the Tech offense that I'm worried about.
Yeah, maybe so.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Chris Lotta in joining us, our KU insider. We've got KU basketball and football to talk about. No Darren Peterson last night. Cramps. We'll get to that, Trius. But first, let's talk a little football here. And I don't know. We don't need to talk about the Sunflower Showdown. KU got their tails kicked. What I want to ask you about is, are you surprised at the chatter? And maybe we should never be surprised at this chatter in college football, but people questioning Lance Leipold. At this point, to my personal opinion, that's insanity from where the program was. But it's out there. I can't imagine that any of us feel like the administration there doesn't have the utmost confidence in Lance Leipold.
Yeah, I think the idea of like letting go of Lance Leipold or something like that, utterly ridiculous. I think, you have to just let him play out the season, figure it out what happens. I mean, I think the way it ends this season is going to probably determine kind of if the seat is hot or not, in the sense. But the questions are, I think, valid to ask. When is Kansas going to win a rivalry game? When is it going to be, is it going to be in the Lance Leipold tenure or not? Because, I mean, they just looked flat out unprepared and they got embarrassed on Saturday. I'm a third party observer. I'm just a guy who covers the team. I was like, I didn't expect that. And I can only imagine how bad it was for Jayhawk fans to watch, the first 5 minutes where they get the return, the fumble touchdown or whatever. I mean, get the fumble return and lead it to a touchdown. And then after that, it was all Kansas State. I really didn't expect that. I talked to some friends who are Kansas State fans. They were surprised by that. I think it's a very fair question to ask yourself. What does this program need to do to win a rivalry game?
Trace, the thing that we've been talking about all week since Sunflower Showdown is the fact of, more so I'd say because of the Brian Kelly firing and coaches getting fired that brings up this conversation of, like, is there unrealistic expectations around KU football right now? What are they? Like, were they ever going to be a team that we thought that was going to be a dark horse contender? Or is this a letdown season? Is this a good season? Like, I feel like we've been skewed all year.
Well, I think going into the season, everyone saw them as a 6-win, 7-win team, right? So they're still on the pace for that, theoretically. I think the issue became, or not really an issue, but it kind of a good thing. Jalen Daniels had a season where you dare to dream a little bigger, is what I'd say, right? Up to the K-State game, Jalen Daniels was playing like a top five, top 10 quarterback in college football, right? He had no bad games. K-State game aside, his numbers are still really, really good. Obviously, you know, that game did not help it. But I think the perception of what they could be got skewed a little bit by early season wins against Fresno State, the way they looked against Wagner, the way they looked against West Virginia. Everyone knew there was going to be legitimate question marks against this thing. But even like the Missouri game, if you're a Kansas fan, like you come away a little bit, you know, okay, there's some good things there. You're up 21-6. Yeah, you lost the game, but that was your first game in Columbia in like 10 years. Like, you know, and you play, you give yourself a chance to win. And they were within, you know, a touchdown or less all game at that point, outside of when they led, of course. But I think perception has been skewed by some early season results / Jalen Daniels' play. And it led to a belief that this team was better than it was. And, I mean, hand up, I thought they were better than they were against K-State. I can tell you that much.
It's hard. There were games in there where we looked kind of in the aftermath and we're like, man, they got outgained by a ton in that. Was that deceptive? Maybe it was. They got a chance to bounce back. Plenty of chances to win big games down the stretch here. What do you make then in the fallout? Is J.J. Dunnigan's decision fallout from the K-State game or not? I think that's really all that matters. Is that a reaction to that from what you're hearing, or is it just a college football thing now?
I think it's just a college football thing. I don't think the game helped, though, right? Like, this guy supposedly went to the game. They got their butt whooped. He's the guy who's the prize recruit of the 26 class. I mean, like, I like to think that there was conversations had after that game, but I have a belief just based on the schools that have offered him scholarship this fall, there was probably some wavering quality there. You know, I mean, like, no disrespect to Kansas or K-State, but, you know, there's some really good schools who JJ has been offered this fall. Miami, you know, Georgia Tech, you know, who looks really good this year, as I say, as a Georgia fan. But it's just a mix of it's college football and these guys want more money, and it certainly didn't help that Kansas looked horrible against K-State.
Yeah. Shreyas, we'll switch it over to basketball here. We'll get back to football preview in the rest of the year, I imagine, later on in this segment. We'll talk about basketball. Last night, you got your first look at the Fort Hays State Tigers, most importantly. I'm not sure what their outlook is in the MIAA conference this year. But no Darren Peterson yesterday. Some cramps going on, it sounded like. Was that a precautionary thing since this game doesn't count? What'd you hear about that?
Yeah, I mean, Self said it was kind of like a mix between like cramps and a little bit of a stomach bug. He hasn't been feeling well since the second half against Louisville. I think he'll be fine. I do think it's something to monitor, though. I've noticed some of the stars in college basketball. I know Pablo Benjero dealt with cramps as well in his college career to start off. And I know there's a couple Kansas guys over the years, not in my tenure on the beat, but who have dealt with cramps and stuff like that. But I do think it's kind of an interesting subplot, right? Like, there's some level of like, well, these other guys have to be good because you can't rely on Darren Peterson to play 15 minutes and give you 24 points, because it does seem like that is kind of an exhausting point of return right now for the freshman. I expect he'll be fine, but I do think it's really interesting that, you know, he cramped in his first real like game with Kansas. But it's all getting into game shape and game flow and all that.
It's part of the reason, probably, Shreyas, we need to be very careful with how much expectation we put on him specifically. We did get a look, I think, at the starting five, though. Trey White, Flory Badunga, Melvin Council Jr., and Cole Rosario look like it. El Marco Jackson was the guy who got the nod in Darren Peterson's place. It looks like Coach Self is looking to run maybe like a, I don't know, 8-man rotation-ish, maybe stretches that out a little bit. But if we go back to the Louisville game to give us a better indication, it kind of looks like 8. Is that what you're anticipating?
Yeah, probably 8. You know, Bill likes to say he'll run 8, 9, 10, whatever. The reality is when March rolls around, it's 7, maybe 8. I I think the way this team is structured, there should be some contributors, I think, that will kind of rise up. There are a lot of question marks, and Bill said it best. He went into the exhibition not knowing what to expect from this team the most out of any team he's coached, and I'm kind of right there with him. You know, like, I really have no idea how good this team is outside of how good Derek Peterson is. I like to think the ceiling is higher than last year, but I think there are some small issues that keep on popping up that give me question marks, and I feel like I keep talking about it, but the shooting is the issue outside of Derek Peterson for me right now.
We're going stir crazy how much we've talked about shooting woes, I feel like. You know, I agree, though. We don't know how good this team is going to be, and I feel like the only thing that we have is the evidence that we've gotten so far, which is two games that don't count. I didn't get to watch much of the Louisville game last week. We were dealing with high school football around here, but obviously what Darren Peterson did in that raised a bunch of eyebrows. They played that like it was a normal game. They didn't do hockey substitutions. They tried to win that game, and they did. Both teams did, I imagine, right?
No, 100%. I mean, I think Louisville had some full court press in that second half, so I guess it was a little different there. But, you know, Bill Self talked about it, how he's impressed with how his team kind of handled that against a top 12 team in the country in Louisville. And I think, you know, I give Kansas major props. See, they look like the much better team in that game with how many question marks they had going in. I think that's pretty impressive. And especially to do it in the road arena, you know, with road fans, etc. Like, that's stuff that you want to see. I think I was pretty impressed with how they played the second half without Darren Peterson. He only played 10 minutes in the second half, and Kansas managed to still blow him out. But there was, you know, still some question marks there. But I felt good about Kansas, better about Kansas after the Louisville game than I did about yesterday's game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the number 11 team in the country.
Yeah.
How are we feeling about Flory Badunga? I something that I just told myself that I'm going to watch early is how much of a presence he is offensively. We know he's going to be a defensive presence. He's taken 9 and 7 shots. That surprised me a little bit to see him that involved early on as an offensive weapon. And I think it's got to be a good sign, because if they can't shoot, they will need him to be an option down there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he looked good against Louisville outside of getting fouled out, of course. He did not look good against Jorge State. That happens. I don't really, you know, worry too much about a guy who 80% of his shot diet or 90% of his shot diet is just dunking the heck out of the ball. You know, you're not going to go 0 of 6 too many times. The one slight concern is I feel like I haven't seen a lot of his bag shown, I guess, on the offensive end. If he has an offensive bag, like, where has he grown in that sense? I know he's been working on his jump shot since before he arrived at campus last year. Well, why haven't we seen it, like, pulled out, like, once? Like, just one time. Like, I want to see if this jump shot is real or not. I think he's going to be really important. You know, I think if Kansas is going to have a successful season, you want a guy like Flory averaging a double-double at the very least. And I expect him to average double-double. I think he will. I think people are freaking out a little bit by the sample size just based on Twitter and stuff like that, their response. But I'm not really worried. It's so early. You know, guys are figuring things out, going through the different spells and lulls and stuff like that. So he's probably going to be a guy that, if he can average a double-double, it'll make everything much easier for Kansas basketball.
Shreyas, I'll circle us back. Let's talk one more football thing real quick before we have to go. Oklahoma State this weekend, it feels like this is the one that you use to get right, right the ship a little bit. Just kind of where are you at with this football program going the rest of the way?
Well, yeah, I think they should beat Oklahoma State pretty easily. I don't know if they cover a 23-point spread. Maybe they do. I don't know. It's hard to say with the spread stuff. But I think they're going to probably make a bowl game. I just don't see them losing 3 straight after this game. I think the question is how good the bowl game is going to be is a big question mark, because, like, theoretically they should be able to win 2 out of 3 in the end. Like, I think they can beat Utah. I think they can beat Iowa State. Not Utah, sorry, Arizona and Iowa State. But tough, you know, road game in Arizona. That's always a question mark. And, you know, Utah's tough and all that. But I don't know. I feel like they'll make a bowl game. I just don't know how good the bowl game will be.
Okay. Shreyas, we appreciate it. Follow all along with Shreyas Lotta at SHRE98 on X. Follow him at the KC Star with all the coverage on KU Hoops and KU Football. We're playing basketball by the time we talk next week, Shreyas. Real, actual basketball. We'll have one in the books, and we'll be looking ahead to North Carolina.
100% excited. Thanks,
guys. All right. There goes Shreyas Lotta. All right, that does it for a Wednesday. Thanks to Shreyas Lotta. A lot of good stuff there. Go back and listen to it on the Odyssey app. KU basketball will be fascinating, you know, in totally different ways than K-State is interesting early in the season, I think. So there'll be a great watch. All of it. Shockers. K-State. Wichita State. KU. Like, it all starts next week, if you can believe it. We're there. Like, we are there. We get through this weekend of football, and we've got college basketball on the slate. I know you're ready for it. I think I'm ready for it.
I am ready for it. I'm ready for Shocker Hoops as well. Next week's going to be a bunch of fun. That's like the first official start of crossover season. So it's going to be a busy time in our lives, but it's going to have lots of stuff to talk about on the show. We're probably going to have to get into the 15-minute Christmas talk segments whenever we get next week.
Yeah, well, no, we always find a way to talk about that kind of stuff. Tim Fitzgerald will join us on the K-State beat tomorrow. We'll also have our betting insider, PJ Glasser, getting us ready for Thursday Night Football and the full weekend. It's jam-packed. Stick with us, everybody. For TJ, for Max, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.